Hi, this is Jacob Scher. Welcome to the Job Mob Podcast. Welcome to another Job Mob Podcast interview with an expert. Today we're going to be talking about freelancing, and not just with anybody. We're going to be talking with an executive from, if not the biggest, then the biggest freelancing website in the world, and I will get to him in a second. If you're a freelancer listening to this call, well then you will definitely have a lot to get out of it. If you're not a freelancer listening to this call and you haven't thought of freelancing, or it's not for you, well then I just want to give you some food for thought. In a recent JobMob guest post by freelancer Adam Green, entitled "Why You Must Freelance Between Jobs and How to Get Started," he gives a number of good reasons for freelancing for job seekers. So he talks specifically about three things. He says, number one, when you're freelancing, you are no longer unemployed. You're now self-employed. In other words, you're not going to have a gap in your resume when you get to a job interview and people are asking you what you did since your last job. That's not going to happen anymore because you now are working. You're self-employed. You're putting yourself out there, but you're definitely not unemployed anymore. That's one thing. Second thing is that you are now producing quality work that gives you results you can point at, that gives you people who can give you possible potential references. Again, all the great things that you want to talk about when you're in a job interview or possibly even on your resume. And thirdly, you're networking. You're meeting new people, whether it's people you're actually working with as a freelancer or who hired you, or other people who were potential clients, or even people who you came across as you were searching for information relating to any projects, any freelance projects that you worked on. So basically all that is just to say that if you hadn't thought of freelancing before, especially if you're between jobs now, then you definitely should be considering it. And if you're going to consider it, well, then you're going to want to start somewhere where you're likely to find a freelancing project fairly quickly. Which brings us to today's guest. So David Harrison is the Vice President of Technology for Freelancer.com. Freelancer.com, according to another JobMob article, which is the top 50 plus freelance marketplaces online, Freelancer.com is ranked number one in that article, which is updated on a regular basis and was recently updated about a month ago. And so, yeah, freelancer.com, that's a big, big freelancing website. And so we're happy to have David Harrison on the call today. David, welcome.
Hi, Jacob. Great to be here.
Terrific. So I'm broadcasting out of Ashdod, Israel, and you're sitting in Sydney, Australia, correct?
I am indeed.
Great. Okay. So, we're going to talk about the website. We're also going to talk about freelancing specifically and using the website to get the best results out of it. Now, as I mentioned, we compiled this article for JobMob about the freelance marketplaces. Freelancer came towards the top in the initial version of the article a couple of years ago. I think that Freelancer was actually number three or number four or something like that. And your CEO, Matt Barry, he reached out to me over email to complain because he didn't like that the results were coming up slightly unfavorably in his eyes anyway. And so basically I explained to him that the way that we ranked the websites is about traffic. In other words, which websites are getting the most traffic, not necessarily how much money is being generated, because I know that you guys like to talk about how many millions of dollars you're making your clients, and that's great. But the way that this article was ranked is about traffic. And since then, well, I mean, all good things happen for a reason. And so you guys have now reached the number one spot because your traffic has shot up over the past years. And I assume you're still growing, because I still see things rising and lots of new things being added to the site all the time. And so let's get down to the actual to freelancing itself, and like I said, we'll move into the website now. Different people are going to use your website. You're going to have people, of course, who are freelancers themselves. You're also going to have people who are looking for freelancers. If I'm a freelancer, let's start with people who have never freelanced before. I'm a first time freelancer, or I'm considering being a first time freelancer. What do you think is a good way to get started?
So that's a really good question, because I think a lot of people who are looking to freelance, who have really valuable skills, who are looking for different ways to earn money, or maybe looking for ways to make their work schedule work for them, are sort of looking around and seeing this massive change in the way that labor is handled, and looking at the kind of opportunities that exist for them in the new online outsourcing push that's taking place.
Right.
So you could be a mother who's just had a kid. You're at home and you're sort of thinking, look, you know, I really want to do more with my time, or you know, I've got some spare hours during the day. Maybe your kids have just gone to school, or maybe you've as you described in your opening, maybe you're between jobs and you're looking for something to, you know, fill the gap, or maybe you're just interested in, you know, working with some technology that you don't get a chance to work with any other way. And so there's a lot of these people who have valuable skills looking to get involved in online outsourcing. So the first thing to keep in mind when you're getting involved in a marketplace like freelancer.com is that your reputation is absolutely key. So those first couple of jobs, you really want to make sure that you pick the right job for you. So if you're a PHP developer, you want to go in and look at the PHP jobs, read the project description really carefully, make sure that you actually message back and forth with the employer, and also, you know, have a look at the budget constraints and the time constraints and make sure that you're going to be able to do the work in the appropriate amount of time. And as you go through and do that at those initial pieces of work, you start to build reputation. Mm-hmm. And reputation is absolutely key to these kinds of sites, and especially key to freelancer.com, because when you start, you know, bidding on bigger pieces of work, bidding on more complex pieces of work, the employers will actually look at, you know, who you've worked for before. They'll look at the reputation and the feedback that you've managed to gather, and they'll use that as part of the adjudication process when they're trying to select who they want working with them. And so I think, you know, that really is the biggest benefit, and the biggest thing that I can say to a starting out freelancer is, you know, pick those early pieces of work wisely, play to your strengths, make sure that you're targeting, you know, strong skill sets, or equally, you know, if you're looking to build skills in a certain area, you know, start with the stuff that you can definitely do and then grow from there.
Okay. No, I mean, that makes a lot of sense. I know that you want to get off to a great start. You want to be able to get someone results quickly, which of course means that you'll be getting yourself results quickly. And so that's it makes perfect sense to do that. The one thing that I'm always curious about, and this is I've used freelancer.com. I've used other websites too. And as someone who's seen both sides of the table, it's true that when you're looking to hire someone, you're concerned about whether this is a person not only who can get the job done, but whether you can trust them. Are they just going to disappear? Are they going to give you quality work, and so on? And so it's true. The reputation is critical. It's really, really important to do whatever you can to give a sense to the potential employers that yes, you are someone who is worth being trusted, and that they should want to work with you.
No. Absolutely, but I also, sorry, just to quickly finish off on that thought, sure. I also think communication can be really important, mm-hmm. because it's not just that, you know, you might be a PHP developer and you've done previous PHP developer work, but when you read that project description and you put in your bid description as, you know, this is the work that I'd like to do and I'm quite experienced and, you know, I've done the following kind of work before, etc. But also, you'll also message back and forth with them, mm-hmm. and it's part of establishing a relationship as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, online outsourcing is the same as, you know, work in any other realm. Communication is absolutely critical, not only to making sure that you understand what the project is about. You might have additional questions. You might have extra components that you know that they might need that they might not be aware of yet. So they might be looking for a WordPress site and you're able to recommend additional plugins or additional themes. You might be able to suggest additional pieces of graphic design development that they might want to get done. And at the same time, you're also able to demonstrate to them how serious you are about wanting to do that work and your commitment to getting that work done. And you're also able to demonstrate just by your communication that you're able to fulfill the work that they want to get performed. But at the same time, it also gives you that opportunity to explore the project further as well.
Well, the thing I like about that is, and this was actually the question that I had hanging in mind, was that when you are just starting out on the website and you haven't had any projects yet, you may not have even had a career. You may be a student who's just starting out. I don't know. But I was wondering what can you do to really make yourself look trustworthy? Now, it's true that communicating, that's an easy thing that does impart trust immediately. Because if you see someone, for example, I know I've published projects where I say to people that I'm giving you a lot of details because I want it to be as clear as possible, but I want you to read those details and to show me that you understood what you read. And this is one way of weeding out spam, for example, because you will have lots of companies that just reply and they say, oh, we can do this project. And these are all a list of all the other projects we've done, but they've clearly not read the instructions that I gave. And right away, that doesn't impress me. It doesn't make me want to work with them. And so, yes, if someone does follow you just said and they read the instructions and they immediately send a message to the employer saying, yes, I've read your instructions. This is why I think I can accomplish it within your constraints. And it's similar to a project I've done in the past, for example, so forth and so on. So yes, that immediately definitely helps you. Now, are there other things that someone can do, especially when they're starting out? Again, they don't really have much to show. They don't have a rating of 10 great projects they've already succeeded for other people. What other things can they do to impart trust?
Absolutely. So one of the key things that I also think early or starting out freelancers can do is they can go and do some exams. So we've got a section of our site that has a wide range of exams for all the different skill types. And we're constantly building that out and expanding more, adding additional levels as well, so that you can demonstrate that you're an absolute code ninja in some particular area, or a design guru, or an article writing genius, or even just, you know, I'm starting out and I'm a, you know, I'm a level one HTML designer. Not all work has to be amazingly complex. Plenty of work can be quite simple and straightforward. You don't have to be an amazing guru of some particular technology to be able to freelance work. So there's all kinds of different kind of work in between. So by sitting some of those exams, you can actually have a demonstration, an objective way of measuring where your skill set's at. So you can also say and point to these exams and say, look, I'm a level two PHP developer, I'm a level one designer, etc. And that's an objective way of trying to demonstrate to them where your skill level's at, and you know, how, to what extent you're going to be able to fulfill their needs. So if somebody wants a really complex piece of site development done, you'll want a higher level development exam that you've completed. If they want some reasonably straightforward design work done, you can do a low level design exam. And all that kind of stuff is really, really beneficial in terms of trying to bootstrap, I guess, your career in freelancer.com. But at the same time, there are also other things you can do to advertise yourself to the employer. So at the moment, what you can do is you can actually sponsor your bid. So you'll come along and look at a project and say, look, this is a great project for me. It's a perfect fit. It's the right skill types. I love the description. I think I really understand what this project's about. And I'm really willing to put myself out there. So for a dollar or a couple of dollars, you can sponsor your bid up into a priority placing on the project page so that the employer is guaranteed to see your bid. Some projects, you know, can have, you know, 10, 15, 20 bids on average, many higher. Some can have a lot of bids, especially if we're talking about data entry or something like that. You can have quite a high volume. And being able to prioritize your bid over and above your competitors can be an amazingly powerful advantage.
Okay, no, that's very cool. That's very practical stuff that someone can do when they're starting out. So that's great. Now, let's say, so I've done all those things now. I've signed up. I've created my account. I've done the exams. And I think that's a really cool idea, by the way. I wasn't aware that you could do that on freelance.com. So that's a great way to quickly give yourself credibility. You do an exam or exams that will show that you have, it's basically certification that shows that you have a certain level of knowledge that you can bring.
And that's exactly it. And interestingly enough, the freelancers are really proud of it. They really go out of their way to earn the extra exams and to go in there and really, you know, go to town on it. And the more the merrier. I think what they're really finding is it's a great differentiator.
Well, yeah, I mean, well, if they're very, very popular, so you have a rush of people taking these exams, and that the more people seeing, I mean, I suppose you have some sort of a badge that says I've passed this exam or I'm certified at this level, and I guess when people get used to seeing, yeah.
I was going to say all exams have badges, so that you're able to demonstrate, and it's part of your profile, it's part of your persona on the site, so that you can really be out there and be proud about the level of achievement you've managed to attain.
Right, it's kind of like merit badges. People want to have as many as they can collect, kind of type of thing.
Absolutely, and you know, look, because it's skill based and because it demonstrates, you know, what an amazing freelancer you are. Look, you know, collect as many as you can. I highly encourage it.
Right. Okay. So you get started. You set up a great profile, even for someone who doesn't have any accomplished projects on the website. Now, I'm looking through the project categories on the website, trying to figure out what kind of projects to apply to and which kind of people to connect with. What kinds of signs should tell us which projects to avoid? Because that's actually something that people don't spend too much time thinking about, especially for a job seeker who's been looking around for a long time. People tend to get desperate. They take the first thing that comes along. And if you're deciding to try out something new, like a freelancing marketplace, well, then you might jump a little too quickly for a project which might lead you to some problems. And so what kinds of things can you do to avoid a bad project?
I'd probably flip it the other way around. I'd actually say, how do you find the project that's right for you? Because I think often you'll find that if you've maybe jumped into a project without having enough discussion in advance, or maybe you've read the description but only skimmed bits of it, and then you jump in and at that point then you say, well, hang on, that wasn't what I thought it was. That's maybe when projects can sort of I guess have some issues. But I think that's also something that you can look towards in advance and say, okay, so look, I'm a PHP developer, but I'm really not much of a designer. So I'm an engineer by background myself. I certainly wouldn't be I wouldn't be advocating anybody use my particular sense of style. But if you look at the description and you say, okay, so this is a development piece of work, and it's with XML RPC, or it's developing a REST interface or something. If you look at that and you say, that's something that I really know how to do, and you really communicate back and forth with the employer, then you get that opportunity up front to say, is this the work that I'm, is this the work that I want to be doing? Is this work that I can complete? Because it's absolutely just as crucial for you to be able to complete the work as it is for the employer, because that's all about taking care of and building up your reputation as well. And so going through and making sure that you fully understand what the project's about, communicating with the employer, and making sure that you're both on the same page, that's absolutely critical. I also think it has a lot to do with using the milestone system. So we've got a payment, a system of locked payments on the site called Milestones, which means that the employer at the beginning of the project is able to put up a certain amount of money into a locked payment, say $100, and then at that point the money is put into a holding place. So the employer has paid it, but the freelancer hasn't received it yet, and that means that at certain points during the process, when you reach certain deliverable milestones, the employer can release that money across to you. And it also means from your side, you know that the money is there and available. So that's a great way of giving both sides confidence in the transaction.
Okay, cool. Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense. Okay, and so you've reached out there. You found some great projects, excuse me, that seem to be right up your alley. You start communicating with the employers, and hopefully you'll get one that you'll be able to convince someone that yes, okay, you are worth taking a chance on because it might be your first time in this case. I mean, even if you have a few projects under the belt, there's still a bit of convincing to be done there. And at what point do things ha I mean, do things get down to work? I mean, how does it actually work?
Oh, sure. So basically what happens is somebody comes along and lists a project, you bid on the project. So then the employer looks at you, you communicate back and forth, and they say, right, this is the person for me. And so they award you the project. Now, you've then got to accept that offer. So you then accept that offer, and now work commences. So now you can message back and forth, get all the details, transfer files back and forth. We've got a file attachment process that you can use for exchanging documents and files, maybe images if they're part of a web design, or maybe articles if it's part of a part of putting together a blog or something like that. And then, at the conclusion of the project, or at certain milestones, or certain markers during the project, you can ask for those milestones to be released through to you. So, the way that I usually recommend a project runs is you make it very, very clear what the deliverable is. So let's say it was putting together a WordPress site. So the deliverable is the WordPress site is populated with all the content, designed as per the specification, and put live. So that'd break down reasonably naturally into three different steps. So the first might just be broad wireframes. How do we want it to look? Where do we want the navigations to go? That kind of thing. The second deliverable could be a shell site. So a broad idea of what's actually going to be going live. So you might host up a version of WordPress somewhere that you can make available to the employer, and they can take a look at that and say, oh, I like it, or can you move this over here, or can you change the color on that? And then the final deliverable would be the actual site goes live with all the content that they've provided and the images and et cetera. And so each of those three steps can actually be a point where you say, right, I've delivered the following things. Can you release that milestone for me? And so that also drives the project ahead because both sides are actually seeing the whole thing come together as you go through and do the work.
Okay. And so, I mean, I know that from my personal experience, I mean, you'll have the employer tends to drive communication a lot, and they want to know what's going on. They might have some feedback to give, something like that. But you can also, of course, request from the worker or that they, once they achieve certain things, well, then they will communicate what they have achieved. If it wasn't a complete milestone, let's say if it was a specific task or a subtask, okay, well, I've now done this. And it tends to go back and forth pretty freely, depending, of course, as you mentioned earlier, if you choose the right person, they're communicative. So, okay. Now, the project finishes, I guess, when all the milestones are completed, and I guess the money has been transferred, and that's that? That's it? It ends at that point?
When the project's paid, so then there's a final step where both sides can give feedback for the other. So the freelancer has an opportunity to rate the employer in terms of, you know, did they pay on time, were they communicative, et cetera, and give them a rating. And the employer has the same opportunity. So did they deliver on time? Was there quality, of the level that you expected, et cetera. And again, ratings out of 5 for each of those metrics and a bit of freeform feedback. I really enjoyed working with Jacob. He's got a great podcast, and I'd love to work for him again. So all of that really gives you that opportunity to also give feedback into the system and to endorse the person who's doing the work with you.
Okay, and so that's a good point. And so with the feedback, if we combine the feedback with passing and getting your merit badges for the different expertise you have. Would you say that it might be worth it for someone starting out specifically to do a free project? Because that way they kind of build up references. So do you think that's a good idea?
I've been a consultant myself, and I think there's one absolutely critical component: never work for free. Because at the end of the day, your skills are valuable. And I say this to everybody that I meet, you absolutely have skills that are highly valuable. You might be an article writer, you might be a developer, a graphic designer, you can have any one of 100 different skills, and they're all valuable, and they're all worth being paid for. And so I absolutely recommend participate in the marketplace as the marketplace exists. So the marketplace is for people who want to pay to get work done. Go in, find yourself a project that's right for you and, be paid for it. Absolutely. Right. And that also means that you're participating in the whole system. It's a fantastic incentive to actually be in there and really be working. I think they say, there's no trial runs in life.
Right. No, absolutely. Okay. All right, so we've kind of, I mean, you're obviously, you're vice president of technology. You have a tech background. I actually have a tech background myself. We mentioned a number of tech examples and also a bit of design. But I know from personal experience that freelancer.com is a lot more than just development projects and design. So, I mean, what's the wide range and what would you say are some of the more unusual things that you've seen?
Sure. Look, the wide range is enormous. So we've got, obviously, as we've already discussed, quite a lot of technology. So almost any language that you can imagine is available on the site. But it also goes
programming
to
language, right?
Programming language. Sorry. Right. Yeah, absolutely. But if you head down that direction, we've got a lot of translation style work that happens on the site as well.
Okay.
So for example, I've even had it done myself. I've got an article that's I want to have translated into another language, and I can just post a project and have it translated into German or Japanese or any other language that I can think of.
Sure.
But at the same time, also mobile development and all kinds of writing. So we've had all kinds of different people get articles written on the website, whether they be trying to write articles for their own site, or maybe they need copy review. So you might have we've had people who are university graduates who need things proofread. Looking for typos, looking for grammatical errors, that kind of thing, that can be really valuable. But then beyond that, you can have houses designed. We've had people have houses designed before, architectural style diagrams. People had furniture for their houses designed as well. And then all the way through to engineering science. So we've had people do all kinds of mechanical engineering. We found one guy who was actually getting a combustion engine designed, which was phenomenally interesting. One guy had a dune buggy designed, and another guy that we heard about actually had a flight simulator chair designed and manufactured through freelancer.com. And cool. So that was, you know, these are just amazing pieces of work getting done. And even down to things like accounting and payroll and that kind of thing can also get done as well. Effectively, because of the rate at which industries are digitizing, it means that any time that you can encapsulate your work inside a file, you can get it outsourced, or you can be participating by doing work that needs to be outsourced. So, you know, if you're doing accounting work, it's as simple as a spreadsheet, so an Excel file that you can send back and forth. If you're getting architecture diagrams done, you're probably working with AutoCAD. If you're doing graphic design, Photoshop, or open source, you could be using GIMP. But of course, technology, everything's digital, so you're very easy to get involved in that kind of work as well. But because of the way and the kind of disruption we've seen, if you look at the way that Apple's gotten involved in the media space, and now everything's a download. You can buy albums online, you can download movies, all of this kind of stuff has become available. Amazon's done the same thing with publishing. The Kindle devices, I've got Kindle on my iPad, and I read all kinds of books, from fiction through to technical manuals. Mm-hmm. So all of these kinds of industries have been massively disrupted because of the digital revolution, and it's just expanding. Because it's so much easier to, and because it means that there's no more barriers to where work can be done. Right. And so basically anything that you can turn into a digital file, you can outsource, or you can be doing the work for the outsourcing of.
Well, there's one thing that you said in there that gave me a reminder of for people who aren't familiar with the technology industry, there's an expression called eating your own dog food, which is basically when technical people create something and then they actually use it themselves for their own purposes. And so you mentioned how you have used Freelancer, your own website, for your own work purposes. I mean, to find people to do work for you. And so I was wondering, how does that work with you guys? Like, is that something, are you required to do it internally? Is it something?
So we don't have to require people to do it. They want to do it,
right.
It's just such an effective way of doing it. We've used virtual assistants. We've had articles proofread before. We've had graphic design work done. We've even had some application development done. I'm actually trying to get some video edited at the moment. So so that should be really exciting. I've got some PowerPoint slides and some video that I need sliced together. I've just posted the project today, so I'm really excited. I think it's going to be really good. But for us, it's obviously a natural thing. We've got over 2.7 million freelancers on our site. That's an enormous. I sometimes have trouble envisioning how many people that is. You think about a football stadium, and then you think, well, there's only 400,000 people in that. How many football stadiums are we talking about? And it's just an enormous number of people.
Yeah.
So with a labor pool that large, you'd be crazy not to get that kind of work done, and we get an enormous amount done as a result.
Okay. I want to come back a little bit. We talked a lot, obviously, about people who are starting out. So I want to focus just a little bit on people who actually have quite a bit of freelance experience, whether they're full-time freelancers or they're just people who have gone back and forth. What's something that would pull people away from another site to use Freelancer?
I think the just straight out the size of the marketplace and the opportunity that gives people. So if you look at our marketplace, we've had over almost 1.2 million projects through the site so far, and that's over $100 million worth of paid work through the site to date. And that's an enormous benefit. So that if you're trying to get off the ground, if you're trying to bootstrap your freelancing career, why wouldn't you go to the biggest marketplace with the widest range of projects available to you? I think if you're trying to start your career today, that's where you want to start from, because the best opportunity that you can have in terms of getting your skills out in front of employers is where the widest range of choice and the highest volumes are. And I think that alone should be more than enough to encourage you to come across to freelancer.com and get involved.
I thought you were going to say because it's ranked number one on the JobMob ranking list of freelance marketplaces.
Well, I would have thought that went without saying, of course, because all your listeners would be immediately aware of that. But absolutely, as you say, we're ranked number one. You don't go to the guys at the bottom of the ladder. You go to the guys at the top, and that's us.
Okay, great. In general, we're getting close to running out of time, but I still have a couple of things I want to ask you. Just overall, we've talked about some best practices in terms of communication and reputation. Is there anything else that you want to mention that you think that people who are getting a lot of success using the site are doing on a consistent basis, or kinds of ideas that are not intuitive for getting great results consistently again and again?
So I think the communication thing is critical, but I think more than that, it's also picking things that you can do reasonably easily and can also turn into a bit of a pattern. So if you're a website developer, there are certain aspects of developing websites that you'll be able to use time and time again. And I think that's the key to being able to really drive your workload forward. And at the same time, I really highly recommend sort of exploring the marketplace for yourself, not just as a freelancer, but also as an employer, because a lot of work that gets done is a combination effort. So if I want to get a website done, that isn't just a question of somebody who knows how to cut code. That could also be needing somebody who can do the layouts to really make the site lay out correctly with navigation in the right places and the footers put together in the right way. And optimized for search engines. So, an SEO expert that really knows where to put the certain kinds of tags, what to emphasize in the page and whatnot. And also somebody who's a graphic designer, somebody who knows about look and feel, who knows about combining colors in the right way. All of those people are really what you'd think of as your crack team for pulling together a website. And so if you've got one of those skills, but perhaps not all, one of the really strong things you can maybe do is hire other people to work with you on a project. So if you've found somebody who's a great graphical designer or somebody who's an absolute gun at getting SEO work done, maybe you can go out and bid on projects and then hire those guys yourself to bolster your claim in doing that work and sort of form a virtual company. I think there's a lot of benefit to doing work like that. Or equally, so if you have people, so I know when I went through university, I met people who were quite talented and that I'd happily work with again. And pulling those people together around me, I can easily go and pick up more complex work again and sort of form a team, form a local company. And that's one of the interesting aspects about freelancer, because it's not just about empowering entrepreneurs to get work done, but it's also about empowering entrepreneurs to do work. We've got many people on the website who've been there for quite a number of years, very successful freelancers. Some of them run companies dedicated to working and getting work done through freelancer.com, all the way up to 100 or more people who are part of their organization, doing building websites or doing graphic design work. And because of that, they're able to bolster their volumes and also continue to build their reputation, because what they're doing is taking advantage of the marketplace and really getting in there and getting involved to the greatest extent they can.
I think that's actually an excellent point. I know that as someone who has his own company for now, it's been a few years. When I started out, people were asking me to do work for them, and I was refusing it because I was imagining the project and saying, okay, I'm capable of doing this part of it, but then the other part of it, I could do it, but I would. It's not my best strength, and it would take too much time, and I wouldn't enjoy it. And I ended up saying no, when in reality, what I should have been doing is coming to a site like Freelancer and saying, okay, these other things that I don't feel like doing, I should get other people to work with me, like you just said. And so, for all the reasons you just said as well, and just to go back to something we said at the beginning of the call is the motivation, this networking idea, the people love it when someone comes along and says, I have work for you. And it's not even in a hiring capacity. I mean, if you contact a friend, a networking contact, and you say, listen, I need someone to help me on a project. And of course, you're going to get paid for your work. I mean, they're only happy to oblige if they're available. It's really free work practically that just came with almost no overhead, no work done, it just fell into their lap. And so what could be better? It's a great way to get results easily. So that's actually a terrific point. Getting close, like we said before, to the end. Is there anything else that you just felt is definitely worth mentioning in terms of specifically Freelancer? What's great about using it, perhaps for experienced freelancers?
So I guess for experienced freelancers, it's we're very much about just getting work done. That's our focus. And if you look at the number of skill types that we have listed on our page, you can see over 400 different kinds of work that go through Freelancer on a regular basis. And I think that alone is a fantastic reason to get involved with Freelancer.com. But I guess beyond that, it's also a question of where do you really want to be involved? Do you want to be involved in the biggest marketplace or one of the smaller ones? And I think really you want to be involved in the big one because it really comes down to where are the employees going, where are the projects, and based on raw, just straight out volume, that's freelancer.com. We're getting a lot of great feedback from our employers in terms of the high quality of work that our freelancers are doing. We've got a lot of talented freelancers. We recently launched a new concept called Contests for Us, which is all about making a different model for how people can get graphic design work done and various kinds of design work, from banners for ads through to T-shirts through to business cards. And so what the employer can do is come along and list what's called a contest, put up a prize. The prize can be guaranteed, in which case the money is absolutely going to be distributed no matter what. And then you can compete to win that prize. And so we've got a fantastic interface around that in terms of being able to upload design entries and discuss them in a really nice flexible discussion board down the bottom. You can refer to design entries by number so that you can really tie it all together quite well. And I think people are really responding quite positively to that. And that's the kind of innovation that we're constantly pushing into our platform. We're really trying to drive forward and find new and amazing ways, not just for employers to get work done, but for freelancers to express themselves and to be able to demonstrate their amazing skill sets.
Terrific. That's David Harrison of Freelancer.com. Freelancer is FreelancerCom. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you very much for your time, Jacob. It's been great to talk to you.
Yeah, it's been a terrific call. Lots of valuable information. We made a big push to convince people to get freelancing because I think it's a great idea. And I think, again, that for the experienced freelancers, there's definitely a lot, maybe 2.7 million. Trying to remember some of the numbers you threw at me.
2.7 million users, over $100 million worth of work done, and over almost 1.2 million projects to date through the site.
Right, so lots and lots of reasons why to go through freelancer.com for all your freelancing needs, whether you're an employer or a freelancer or a job-seeking temporary part-time freelancer. Thank you again, David. Have a great day.